with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
We've been talking for the last 3 weeks about keys to having a happy family. And last week I shared some keys with you. I talked to you about first love and first works. Now, in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2, we see that Jesus commended the church in Ephesus for their works, for their labor, for their patience, even for their ability to discern true apostles from false prophets, and he even complimented them on their consecration in that he said, "You're not able to bear those that are evil." And he said, "And you also hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans." And their doctrine was that you didn't have to be totally consecrated to love God, that you kind of lived the way you wanted to live. There's, you know, that really deep, sincere consecration to God wasn't necessary. And I'm going to tell you, that doctrine and that spirit is still in the world. That spirit of the Nicolaitans says that it don't take all that to serve God. We might have some Nicolaitans right in here today. You might be a Nicolaitan and don't even know it. If you're not committed 100% to God in your heart, and you think that all that church ain't necessary, it don't take all that to serve God, you ain't got to read your Bible all the time, you ain't got to be in church, you know, God understands, you know, you can live the way you want to live, it's all right, God love everybody. That's that doctrine. And Jesus said, "You hate their doctrine, which I also hate." Because it keeps people in bondage, and it keeps people from having God's best in their life. When the Lord wants to really pour out his spirit upon you, and when you hold those type of thoughts and attitudes toward God, then you can never receive his fullness. You can't get his fullness as long as you're not willing to totally surrender your entire life to God. When the scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him." I just re-quote how I quote that scripture. I say, trust in the Lord with 100% of your heart. That's what that means, 100%. In all your ways, in 100% of your ways. Everybody say 100%. See, when he say all, what does all mean? All means completely. All means everything. All means nothing is excluded. So that's 100%. So when I say it, it kind of makes me check. Am I trusting God with 100% of my heart, or am I really just trusting with 90%, 80% trust? I'm going to tell you, he wants 100% of your faith, 100%. Amen. And we saw also a principle that we can use in marriages between husbands and wives. We saw a principle that Jesus had 7 compliments and one thing that he said that he didn't like about them. One of the principles of first love is that you always compliment and encourage and lift up more than you find fault. And that's what happens in marriages sometimes, is that when a husband or wife can do no right in their mate's eyes, they just give up trying. Because when the criticism outweighs the compliments, then people are moved into a place of hopelessness and say, "Well, you know, it just don't matter what I do. I just can't please that woman. I just can't please that man." And so we see that the principle here is that if you're going to find fault with your mate, you ought to at least find at least 5 or 6 good things you can say about him. And if you say, "Well, Pastor, I can't find nothing good to say about him," I'm going to tell you, we really got a problem here. We got a problem. Because you are in a self-destructive mindset that you will destroy your marriage and your family one brick at a time, one word at a time. You'll be pulling bricks out of the foundation when all you do is find fault and when all you do is criticize. Amen. So you just can't be critical all the time. There needs to be compliments, like, and then when we talk about first love and first works, when you're doing your first works, when you fall in love, there's a first works experience that you have with the Lord. Amen. When you first fall in love with Jesus, there's certain things that you are inwardly motivated to do, like read your Bible, go to church, tell other people about Jesus, give and share everything you got. You just want to tell the world about Jesus, right? Those are the first works, you know, giving. I mean, the moment that you hear the truth and you're convicted by the Holy Ghost, you just make adjustment and you just change. That was the first work. Quick to change, quick to repent, quick to forgive. These are the first works. And Jesus told them, even though they had done a lot of good things and he had complimented them, he said, yet I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. He said, you don't love me like you used to love me. And he said, and I don't like that about you. He had a lot of good things to say, but he said, your love for me, your affection for me, he said, now that is one thing I'm not going to tolerate you losing. Right? He said, now I'm going to tell you how to get it back. He said, remember from whence you've fallen. In other words, remember how it used to be. Remember what you used to do. Remember, go back and remember how you fell in love with Jesus. And then remember what you used to do. Then he said, repent, change your mind, quit doing what you're doing, and I want you to go back and start doing the things you used to do when you first fell in love with me. Amen. Praise God. And when you do, then his presence comes back in your life. Like I shared last week, it won't necessarily be the same experience. Actually, it'll be much richer. But you got to go back to that starting place, and the Lord will meet you at that place and give you a whole nother experience with him. How many of you know that things never grow old with God? Amen. So you go back and you do those first works, and then he said, now, if you don't do this, I'm going to remove your candlestick. That's how important it is. The candlestick represented the church, the assignment that church had been given. He said, I'll take your assignment from you. Praise God. So we said that if you're going to have a strong marriage, a strong family, then Jesus had to be put back in the center. You had to go back to your first love and not worry about what your mate's doing. You got to center yourself back up. Get yourself right before you try to pull the speck out of somebody else's eye. Get the beam out your own eye. Get that big log, that tree trunk, out your own eye before you try to take that little splinter out of somebody else's eye. Right? You know you can't see clear when you got a log in your own eye. How you going to see the splinter? You know, this is what Jesus said, you know. All right, then we talked about remembering those first works. There's also a first love relationship that a man and a woman have together when you first fell in love. And you got all shook up. Your world got rocked. How many of y'all remember that? We've already gone over that. We covered that ground. If I get over that today, we ain't gonna get back. So we want to move forward. But what I told you last week, first of all, recover your first love for Jesus. That is primary. Your relationship with God is the most important relationship that you can ever have in life, is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got to center back up on him. And then for all the married folks that are here, then you have to go back and use the same principle in your relationship and remember how it was when you first met your husband, your wife, while you were dating. And then you go back and you start doing those first works again. And from that place, God will cause you to fall in love all over again. As I mentioned to you last time, over the years, I've fallen in love with CC, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen times or more. That just, you know, sometimes just looking at her. Just seeing her there. sitting next to me or watching her work, doing something, I just look at it and admiration will rise up in my heart again. And I fall in love. I think we've fallen in love with each other more than one time. And see, that's what happened in a lot of relationships, is that first love, they let it die. When first love dies, you stop doing the first works. That's how your first love dies. You stop doing first works. You stop dating. You stop calling. You stop showing appreciation. When you're dating, you can't find fault, can you? Everybody else can find fault with him, but you bet, hey, don't talk about him. Right? You can't see no wrong. Right? Everybody say they just love struck. They can't see all that flaws that man got. Because they in love. Praise God. Amen. So that was the instruction that I gave you last week. Recover your first love. Today I want to take us deeper into this relationship. The word today just doesn't apply to husband and wives. It really has a very broad application that covers everybody. Because we have a lot of single people here that still desire to be married and to have companionship. And what I shared with you last week is that you need to focus on your first love with Jesus and letting God prepare you and get you ready for that husband or that wife. Amen. You don't want to be undone when God bring that person in. Okay. And I told you that I was just 21 years old, 22 years old, and I totally surrendered my life to God. I've been single before. People think married folks can't understand single people. The thing is that all married folks was once single. We've all dealt with the same pressures that you deal with. We deal with the same temptations. We dealt with them before we got married. We had to walk the same walk you're walking. And I'll just tell you what worked for me was that I said, Jesus, I want to get as close to you as I can. I want to focus on you. You know, I don't have no distractions in my life now. And whenever you think that I'm ready for a wife, bring her in my life. When you think I can handle the responsibility of being a man and being a husband to a woman, then bring her to me. And that's exactly what he did. When a woman marries a man of God, she marries a plan. Glory to God. All right. I ain't going to get many amens on that. But Hebrews 13:14 says that marriage is honorable and the marriage bed undefiled. Now, when you look up that word honorable, it means precious, especially dear, held in honor and esteemed worthy. So the way I read that scripture to myself, I make a confession out of that scripture. I say, my marriage is honorable, precious, especially dear, held in honor and esteemed worthy in every way.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-